Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Football Absurdity First Post-Draft Podcast. I'm Evan Hoovler, filling in for Jeff Crisco, and here with me is Tony Martin, Mike Valverde, and Walker Kelly. Walker, how are you today? You just got back.
Yeah. I was downstate at a concert, so yeah, I got back home. Let's see, it is 3:12. I got back home about a half hour ago.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for coming in for this. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You got it.
Mike, how are you doing? I heard you there say, oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Been watching the Rivercats. Started on Thursday, and then Friday, and then today, and then tomorrow. So I got like five games in for the Sacramento Rivercats. So I'm enjoying it.
Are you watching them live in person?
Yes, sir.
Nice. What's the best part about their ballpark?
Well, I could tell you it's not the food, unless you're a legacy person, which I am. But yeah, it's an old park. So I would say that they have launch distance and velo and all that kind of stuff. So I guess the stats that they keep on the scoreboard is probably the best, which doesn't say much. It does have a beautiful view of the bridge, though. So there you go.
I like that stuff. Tony, thanks for coming back on. You were on our last podcast, and now we get to talk about the draft. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again. Glad to be here. It takes two people to do Jeff's job, and I appreciate being half. Walker, you said you were at downstate. Did you go see downstate?
No, I was, I live in Northern Michigan. So I drove down to the Detroit area and I saw a Spirit Box.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Were they spirited?
Yeah. Yes. They were very spirited, Mike.
Okay, that's good to know.
Nice. And so let's check the boxes of news so we can get right into discussing the draft. Something very near and dear to me. The Ravens signed Lamar Jackson to a 5-year, $260 million contract, and I no longer have to make reasons up to my 10-year-old son. He's like, why don't they just sign him? Why don't they like him? What's going on? I don't understand life or football. And I'm like, nope. Everybody's happy. They got him receivers, and Lamar Jackson got paid, and I think his mom gets a cut of that. Tony, who gets a cut of that? Is that his mom?
Well, when he hits all his incentives, hopefully Todd Monken gets a little bit of an incentive there. Their new OC, I think this is going to be a great year for Lamar.
Waleed is really excited about Todd Monken and his Baltimore Ravens write-up. There was last season he was in, I think, Tampa Bay. There was like the top three receivers had like 3,600 total receiving yards or something absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
He was OC for 3 years in Tampa and then Cleveland, and he was in Georgia the last 3 years.
Fabulous. Thank you. And then Aaron Rodgers loves to be in the news. The Jets signed Randall Cobb to a 1-year deal. Walker, does this affect Garrett Wilson's fantasy value?
No. Nope, not at all.
Good, because I don't want that to happen. And it's really funny how I might be stealing your joke here, Tony, so apologies, but Aaron Rodgers was like, I don't like the offense in Green Bay, and then goes to New York and then brings the offense with him. So, yep, and he's in there. And then really quick, I want to say something I've been mock auctioning because I have a problem, and Yahoo finally put the rookies in, but they didn't put them in any value, so I got Bijan for $1 because nobody was paying attention. So that's not a viable mock yet. ESPN's got them valued pretty well.
New barbecue strategy for 2023.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson for $1.
So if you want to mock, and that goes for Snake too. If you want to mock, go to ESPN or check out somewhere else besides Yahoo until they get their rookies.
I mean, $1 is about right for Tyler Algier's backup, right?
Absolutely. And speaking of Tyler Algier, we'll mention him a little later. Let's hop into the draft. The biggest fantasy thing was Bijan, as I mentioned, going to Atlanta. And now I did top five Bijan potential landing spots and even snuck in a sixth with the Bills. And I couldn't work in Atlanta because I just couldn't. I kept talking myself out of it because of the backfield. Mike, are you excited about Bijan in Atlanta? Can you talk me into this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no more Tyler Allgeier. May he rest in peace, because Bijan Robinson is just going to completely take over this backfield, or at least he should. If he doesn't, then Houston, we have a problem, because the way that Bijan is, can catch, run, does it all. The only thing he doesn't have is home run speed, but neither does Tyler Allgeier. So it should be all Bijan Robinson every day, every down. And blocking maybe third down, I don't know. But for the most part, if you have Bijan Robinson, you're a happy camper right now.
And Tony, I think you were at a student's music recital. How did you find out about the Bijan Robinson pick?
I was driving home and listening to it on the radio. And I think it makes a lot of sense. From a non-fantasy perspective, from a logistical perspective, like, you got reason to believe the NFC South is wide open, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I do, and like the NFC South being relevant again.
And, well, and the Falcons line took a huge leap last year. Falcons are going to have about $50 million in cap space next year with those skill position players. I think they're in a good spot. And you know what? You can always put Tyler Allgeier back at linebacker, right?
Yeah, I think he fits there for sure.
And speaking of the NFC South being relevant again, the Carolina Panthers picked Bryce Young as part of three quarterbacks going in the first four picks, a refreshing change from last year where they didn't go in the first two rounds. Walker, for fantasy, redraft, whom are you excited about? Any one of them, Young, Stroud, or Richardson?
I mean, I think you have to be a little excited about Richardson just because he can run a lot. And run very well. So, you know, they're going to, with Shane Steichen coming over, they're going to have that read option in the red zone with Richardson and Taylor that's going to be pretty much unstoppable. Now, how often they get to the red zone, I don't know. But when they're there, it's going to be a lot of rushing touchdowns for Richardson and a lot of rushing touchdowns for Taylor. Stroud, I am not particularly excited about. Houston didn't throw the ball a ton last year. They brought in D'Amico Ryans, who comes from a running philosophy and is obviously a defensive guy. They don't have any receivers or tight ends who are good. So it's probably not going to be a super productive rookie season for Stroud. Young, I mean, he'll run a little more than Stroud, but probably not enough to buoy his production. I mean, the receiver room is old Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, who's decent, and then, you know, Jonathan Mingo or Terrace Marshall, which I'm not very excited about. They signed Hayden Hurst, who's fine. I don't know. Their offense is going to be, like, super aggressively average this year, and Young might have streamer potential, but I don't think he's a quarterback I'm going to be looking to be drafting.
There was some debate in our Discord today about whether Anthony Richardson would be viable in one quarterback redraft leagues. And I came into play, people were saying no, and I came into play devil's advocate because, you know, I put him in the top 12 in terms of fantasy. But then I looked, and both ESPN and Yahoo have quarterbacks 6 through 12 all going for an average auction, a listed value of under $10, and I can talk myself into Trevor Lawrence for $9, 10 times out of 10 over Anthony Richardson for $1. So then I was like, you know what? No, I don't think so. Mike, what do you think? Anthony Richardson, redraft, one quarterback leagues, is he a viable starter?
I think the only thing keeping Anthony Richardson from being a viable starter is if and when he starts. Gardner Minshew's there. Richardson needs to work a lot on being accurate. He's far from accurate. Strangely enough, he'll make these very nice accurate throws when he's in trouble, but someone's wide open and he'll miss them by a mile. And you're just like, well, why can't you just take what you're doing when you're in trouble to when the pocket is clean? But he definitely has inaccuracy issues. Not that Gardner Minshew doesn't, but at least Gardner Minshew has some veteran years under his belt. So if Gardner Minshew starts out as the starting quarterback with Indianapolis 4 or 5 weeks, then that just blows a hole in Anthony Richardson's values. I mean, you can maybe draft him way late, take a darter on him. But I think of the three, though, of the three, then Anthony Richardson is the better option. But for me, I'm going to, unless there's a keeper value attached to it, I'm ignoring all three of these guys.
And oh my gosh, Mike, how did I forget to throw this to you? In our mock the day before the draft, you picked Anthony Richardson to your Colts when I think Walker thought you were going Will Levis.
Yes.
How excited were you when the actual pick happened?
I was very excited. Walker had every reason to believe I was going with Will Levis just because on our quarterback show, I did say, well, Colts looking at Will Levis, it looks like they're going to go with Will Levis. And but as more I looked at tape, the more I was like, no, I really hope they don't go Will Levis. So when they announced Anthony, I'm like, okay, I jumped out of my seat and got very excited. We'll see what he ends up doing. Hopefully he's not the Vince Young of the group. Hopefully he's more like the Cam Newton, which he can be. So we'll see what happens. It's not a clear cut situation, but I was excited.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm happy for you. And so I was listening to last year's, the same podcast, the post-draft podcast. And one thing I wanted to do that they did was Jeff asked, who's this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown? Amon-Ra St. Brown going on day three. So in the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round. And y'all went back and forth and talked, but you eventually kind of came to a consensus that Algier was the breakout from those late rounds. And I was like, whoa, they totally called this. So looking at the players picked in rounds four and later, whom do you think, let's start with Tony, who hasn't said anything in a minute. Do any of those jump out of you as maybe a fantasy breakout?
See, I was hoping you'd call on me last so I could gleam off the people who are one for one instead. So I'm torn, right? So I think Chase Brown is the easy bet here. I actually don't mind Evan Hull in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I think we watched Zach Moss return excellent value last year because I think that offensive line is just great. That system will be great. But I think if I had to pick one, it's probably Zach Evans as a deep, 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 deep stash. I think Cam Akers is an up and down guy for the coaching staff. He was my RB4 just based on tape. And I think since the Rams are gearing up for a rebuild, I would assume that McVay gives Evan at least a little bit of run this year because I know that the Rams use two backs quite often.
And that's Zach Evans, a running back from Ole Miss, picked 215th overall in the sixth round. Walker, you got somebody?
I have three guys who are all different than the ones that Tony said. Chase Brown is a fine pick. Evan Hull could be the new Nyheim Hines in Indy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Zach Evans stinks real bad and is not good. So
sure.
No thank you on that one. I am a Cam Akers hater, and I will even say Cam Akers is better than he is.
Okay.
I have one running back, Dwayne McBride from UAB, who was my running back four in the draft. He went in the seventh round of Minnesota. I think Dalvin Cook is possibly going to get traded, and if he doesn't, he is quite injury-prone at this stage in his career. I don't believe Alexander Mattison is anything special, and I think if Mattison gets extended run, he will not do particularly well. He'll be inefficient, and they'll give McBride a chance, and he'll be better. So I think he could have that late-season Algier-type value. And then I have a couple of receivers who I'm less convinced about. Puka Nacua for the Rams, just because they don't have a whole lot of depth at receiver behind Cooper Kupp. He's the type of guy that Stafford could just fall in love with and, you know, pepper with 80 or 90 targets rookie season. And then Xavier Hutchinson in Houston. I lied earlier when I said Houston doesn't have any good receivers. Xavier Hutchinson's good. He's just, like, slow. He's big and slow. You know, he's best case scenario, he's Marcus Colston, but worst case scenario, he's, like, out of the league in 2 years. He's Hakeem Butler. I think he's a good route runner, especially as a bigger receiver. And I think he's the type of guy who could play as like a big slot and sort of replicate what JSN did for Stroud at Ohio State, be that safety blanket type guy. So those two guys, again, very, very deep. I wouldn't necessarily recommend drafting any of these guys in redraft. And if you do, like last round, very last round.
This is XFL fantasy talk right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Puka Nacua is probably going to be, like, the second leading receiver in the XFL in 2 years.
And before I throw it to Mike for his opinion, shout out to the Los Angeles Rams, who got to pick this year's Mr. Irrelevant with the last pick of the draft. You went with a defensive end. So now I have nobody to root for. Great job. You messed it up. You know this person's not making the team. You could have just gone quarterback. Who cares?
Okay, let's see. Who was the last skill position player taken?
Grant Dubose, yeah.
Yep, Grant Dubose.
Okay, he's extremely my
extremely unathletic receiver from Charlotte.
He's going to break records. Mike, who are your day three picks?
Evan Hall was one, but you guys covered that pretty well. So my number one guy, though, is Roshon Johnson. Someone that didn't get as much pub just because Bijan Robinson was there and at Texas. But he's a very tall running back, great size, athleticism, powerful, breaks tackles, doesn't fumble, has excellent contact balance. And if you ever seen his stiff arm, it's just murderous. So he went to the Bears, which opens up quite a bit. Deontay Foreman is there. He's average. Khalil Herbert's there. There's a reason probably why he hasn't been the number one running back outside of David Montgomery. So his path to success is viable just because of the team he landed on. So if any of those like day three picks, I'm going with Roshon Johnson.
You know what's funny is that both of you picked running backs that were brought in as depth pieces to back up the current lead back who was not brought in by the current coaching staff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, all of the evidence points toward Roshon Johnson being like the most obvious pick for day three guy who could break out. I just feel that there's a reason why he didn't touch the ball very much at Texas, and I don't think the only reason was that Bijan Robinson's really good, because if Roshon Johnson was also really good, he would have gotten more touches. I don't think he does a good job of avoiding contact. I think when he gets hit, he does a good job of bouncing off of it and staying on his feet, but I don't care for his vision. I don't think that he's real shifty. I just think he's average. And I don't think that that's a guy who's going to break out. You know, when you've got a guy like Deontay Foreman who coaches love because he can pass pro and he's huge and churns out yards. Khalil Herbert is more explosive than Roshon Johnson is. So yes. I just worry that Johnson's going to kind of get lost in the shuffle and not really have a defined role on the team.
And Tony, I just wanted to say thank you for jumping in there and steering the conversation to a fun place. Feel free to do that anytime. Like you said, it takes two people to do Jeff's job. So when you notice that, I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't even paying attention to half the details that you just said. Oh my gosh. So I appreciate that. And since we're on the subject of Tony, what does their pick of offensive tackle Darnell Wright mean for Justin Fields?
Well, if you read any like Dov Kleeman tweets,
never.
It means that Ryan Poles is wasted or something stupid like that. I don't know. It was a reach. Walker had pointed that out when we did the mock.
Tony nailed it.
Well, I mean, it was clear that's what they were looking for, right? So, I think it's a great move. If you want to find out if Fields is the guy, this is the way you do it. The receiving room is good. I think the running back room is too crowded. They didn't just bring in Foreman this year. They also brought in Travis Homer.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Right. No, sure. From a fantasy perspective, it doesn't matter at all. But
he could get some third down snaps.
And so it's a big old shit show in the backfield. But I love the play at tackle. He's a big, angry guy. He said, if anyone hits Fields late, we're going to meet him in the parking lot, which that's like the most meatball level I'm willing to root for in sports. I think that's about it.
Thanks. And just side note, I have a bot that I specifically installed to our Discord that has one job, and that job is to block people from posting Dove Kleiman tweets.
Let's go.
And it doesn't do its job, and it pisses me off so much every day when somebody puts a Dove Kleiman tweet, and I'm like, what are you doing, bot? You have one job. Literally one job. And speaking of one job, I don't know how I'm going to segue from that into Jahmyr Gibbs. There, nailed it. So Detroit had the shocker special of the draft, picking Jahmyr Gibbs at number 12 overall, trading from Cleveland via Houston and Arizona, which was a theme of this draft where I just lost track of where these picks have gone. They went all over the map of the United States. But they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, and of course I'm going to throw it to Walker here. Walker, how did you feel when they traded? You know, how did you feel overall about Detroit as a Lions fan? It seems like they did day two on day one and day one on day two, and it all worked out in the end. But while it was happening, it felt like a shit show. What did you think?
I was definitely surprised by a lot of what the Lions did in the draft. Looking back on it, I'm not sure I should have been as surprised as I was, but I was at the time. But you can't deny that the Lions drafted talented football players who will make the team better. And that's, as a fan, that's all I can ask for. You know, I can understand the empirical argument for draft value. I get that. But, like, that's pretty tough to determine. And if Jahmyr Gibbs is really good, the Lions are not going to regret taking him in the first half of the first round. You know, if he's what Brian Branch, one of their other draft picks, says he is, Alvin Kamara 2.0, then he's worth the 12th pick in the draft and probably even more. You know, we upgraded the running back room with Gibbs and Montgomery. They're both better than Swift and Williams, respectively. We upgraded the linebacker room significantly with Jack Campbell. He is better than both Alex Anzalone and Malcolm Rodriguez. Sam Laporta is the best tight end on the roster immediately. Brian Branch is maybe better than Tracy Walker and is insurance in case Gardner Johnson doesn't get a contract extension after this year. Hooker, I didn't really love that pick, but what can he do? You know, he'll be a good backup quarterback at least, but I don't think he's anything more than that. And then the rest of them were just kind of guys. So, yeah, not really important. But, yeah, I mean, with the Gibbs pick, that was clearly the guy they wanted. Based on how they want to run their offense, I think he was even higher on their board than Bijan was. They really want to use him in the slot. They really want to use him out of the backfield as a receiver. And he can maneuver his way into the open field, whereas Swift had to be schemed into the open field. So I think that, you know, when Gibbs is like the second or third option and the first and second option isn't open, Goff can just swing it out to him and Gibbs will get you 8 yards, 12 yards, you know. So I think that he's going to be a safety valve. I think that he's going to be very productive in this offense. I think he's a guy that you can draft in fantasy this season. You know, I think he will be solid.
Doesn't Goff have the highest rate of checkdowns?
Yes, he loves to throw. He loves to throw short. Part of that was because a lot of our personnel last year was short to intermediate targets. Obviously, the start of the season, I think, will be very similar. I think Gibbs might actually start off the season hotter than he ends the season because of not having Jameson Williams. I would expect Laporta to get the most work of the tight ends, but that's not a huge part of the offense. So I think with Williams out, it'll run pretty much exactly like it did last year with calculated deep shots peppered into a bunch of West Coast type stuff. Once Jameson's back, though, I think they'll open it up quite a bit. And I think that then you'll see some really weird formations.
And you mentioned Gibbs being better in the second half of the season. Gibbs is number one on my list of people who... Every year, we have people drafting wide receiver rookies and running back rookies, and then they come into our social media and our Discord, and they're like, is this guy droppable? And we have to keep saying, you didn't draft him to start right now. Stop wondering on a week-to-week basis. This is dumb. And Gibbs is number one on my list. I'm going to have to say that so many times to people.
Yeah, I feel like he just like won't score a touchdown for 3 weeks. Like he'll be involved and gaining yards and looking good. He just won't score a touchdown. Everybody's going to be like, man, I can't even start Jahmyr Gibbs. And then by like week five, he's a must start every week. Like, you know, he's ranked like running back 15 every week.
And in the correlation definitely equals causation department, it should be noted that Charles was... He was made king yesterday or today because I don't know what day it is in England right now. And the last time England had a coronation for a queen, actually, Detroit won the title. It wasn't the Super Bowl because it was before the Super Bowl era because that lady was old. So, yep, It's a lock. You heard it here first.
There you go. Detroit Lions, Super Bowl champions.
Yep.
I will not be testing fate by saying this out loud, but oh boy. Oh boy. I don't know what I'd do. I'd go insane.
I think we've all seen that argument. I think it might have been on Reddit. The Detroit Lions have the worst fate of, like, their fans have endured the most garbage in the last 50 years. And so, yeah, I'm rooting for them too. And they were like, I've said in a video, they were like the NFL's Miss Congeniality after the Hard Knocks last year. Everybody wanted to root for them because they're just so charming, you know?
We're getting there. That's all I know is that we're on the right track. So we'll see how far it takes us.
Yeah. And so, Mike, I'm going to throw it next to you for this one, but I think we're all going to have something to say. Scrolling down to picks 20, 21, 22, and 23, four straight wide receivers.
Yeah,
that was exciting. And
that was.
What were your thoughts? What weigh in? There's open canvas. What do you think?
Well, I wasn't really too surprised about Jaxon Smith-Njigba going number one. And I think that's a great landing spot for him in Seattle. He should thrive in there. I was a little bit surprised about Quentin Johnson going number two. I don't know if it's the fact that they want Mike Williams, Quentin Johnson, and Keenan Allen working the slot, and then you have all three just really monstrous, like Cincinnati Bengal type wide receiver. But I mean, Jordan Addison is there, and to me, Jordan Addison's better than Quentin Johnson. So you could have pretty much the same thing without losing out on talent. So I was a little surprised about that. Zay Flowers, who's more of a slot receiver. So what are you going to do with Bateman? Obviously he's the number one guy, but Zay Flowers, so you have two slot receivers now. That's very confusing. And Jordan Addison falling all the way to Minnesota after they were losing Adam Thielen, to me, was probably the best of the best of the picks, considering when you factor in value.
Yeah. I mean, I was drafting Jordan Addison in our mock draft, drafted him to the Lions at 18. So, you know, I think he's a very good player. You know, everybody's on Twitter, oh, he's too small, he'd be such an outlier. Shut up, I don't care. I will draft Jordan Addison. He is immediately the second best target. He's better than TJ Hockenson. Sorry. Immediately the second best target in an offense that has the best receiver in the league. So he's going to get his opportunities. He's got a quarterback who's accurate. I think he'll do well. You know, it pains me to say it as a Lions fan, but I think Minnesota actually made a good pick.
I was also disappointed as a Ravens fan that they went flat. Not too disappointed, but I wanted Addison. I had mocked him to the Ravens in like 90% of my mocks because I want a crisp route runner for Lamar to know where he is and not have to just count on Mark Andrews all the time if Odell Beckham Jr. loses his mind. But yeah,
or just gets hurt.
Yeah. Also, Zay Flowers kind of pigeonholes himself in terms of fantasy football team names, I'm finding. It's always Jabril Showers brings Zay Flowers. I can't really come up with any other way to use that. So I don't know.
It's going to be Zay, and then your team name is or your team picture is Justin Timberlake.
Tony, what were your thoughts on the wide receiver run?
So I actually, like, this year for redraft purposes, I think Addison is the pick to make. I think that so all of these guys are coming in initially, regardless of whether they should be or not. All three of these guys are coming in as their team's third passing option on a given play,
I suppose.
So to me, I want to go with Addison because I think he's going to put up solid wide receiver two numbers for fantasy this year. I think he's going to have a big year to start. And then I think for dynasty purposes next year and beyond, I think JSN ends up rising above and having the best output. And I actually think Zay Flowers has a better year two and beyond than Jordan Addison.
Well, that's just because you think Zay Flowers is better than Jordan Addison.
I do. I have my takes. I think Jordan, it was weird to me how Jordan Addison got worse at USC with a better quarterback and had so much of his production on wide receiver screens. When you see 60 catches, you think, oh, that's solid production. And then when you realize that over 20 of them were on receiver screens, you're like, well, I guess that kind of counts.
Yeah, I mean, Williams ran more than Pickett did, and they had more talent around Addison at USC than, you know, because they had, Parker Washington, is it? No, he's Penn State. God, I can't remember, but they have another decent receiver. But yeah, they have more talent on offense around them than Pittsburgh did, for sure. So I think he was just, Kenny Pickett was smart enough to realize where his bread was buttered and just threw to him all the time.
Sure.
And Caleb Williams had more ability, and so Caleb Williams could look for other people and make plays that weren't on the field for a more limited player like Pickett. But I definitely, there are concerns about Addison's play strength, how he could get washed out, you know, by more physical corners. And I definitely understand that. You know, it's the same thing people said about Devontae Smith, and it's not like Devontae Smith's amazing against press coverage, but he does fine. You know, he gets his releases, and he's a strong player, and yes, he has more speed, and so he's going to be a better player. But I still think Jordan Addison can be a good number two option, you know, and I don't know that about Zay Flowers. I feel more confident because I've seen it with Addison. Not that Flowers is a bad player. He's going to be solid at, you know, I think he'll be average at worst. But between those guys, I'd pick Addison. But I think you're right. I think JSN for Dynasty is absolutely the best pick.
You talked about play strength. And I think what I watched of Flowers, he plays bigger and stronger than he is.
I agree.
And so I actually think I think Flowers is best in the slot, but I see them using him all over the field.
Yeah, I definitely, they're going to use him like they used Marquise Brown. They're going to move him from the slot to the outside. He's going to run a lot of short routes and a lot of deep routes, probably not a whole lot of intermediate stuff.
Yep.
And you mentioned Dynasty. Speaking of Dynasty, yesterday morning I did, before we move on to Dalton Kincaid, yesterday morning, I did two things that I rarely do, and I think you all know my fantasy tendencies, so I think this will stun you. Number one, I made a trade.
Okay.
Number two,
you sure did.
Yep, I don't make those every year. Number two, I cared about a dynasty team. That doesn't happen every year either.
Okay.
It's a super flex league, and I had the fifth pick, and CJ Stroud was still on the board, and I didn't need a quarterback. So I'm just fielding calls like all morning. And I'm like, okay, this is a layup. You can't drop this, Evan. And so I ended up, and I wanted a wide receiver, and all four of them were still on the board. So I just started talking to teams 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th slot and trying to pit them against each other. And I finally came up with, I finally accepted trading my first, my 1.05 and my 2.05 for the 1.09 slot and DJ Moore. And I desperately needed help at wide receiver.
Wow. Okay. I was not expecting you to say that. You had me in the first half. I was thinking you might not have gotten great value. And then you threw DJ Moore. I mean, I'm not even like a DJ Moore fan, but he's definitely a lot more valuable than 205.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a layup because it was a layup. Even I couldn't mess it up. You know, I just had to keep talking to people.
And then you probably drafted what, Zay Flowers?
I got Quentin.
Nope.
He and Quentin Johnson were both on the board. I took Quentin Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and for what it's worth, I had the pick before this Quentin Johnson selection, and I went Will Levis.
Yeah, as you should have. It's super flex.
I wouldn't have done that because I don't think Levis is any good. But
yeah, but my only other startable quarterbacks are, I have Matt Stafford, who I've been trying to offload for 2 years.
Sure.
Jordan Love and Brock Purdy. So.
Well, and Purdy's going to be hurt. So, but Levis isn't going to play. So it's not going to help you this year.
I'm crashing for Caleb next year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then why even draft Levis then? Just pick a good position player and just play shitty quarterbacks and lose.
I have decent assets going into next year. So see what we can do.
All right. Fair enough.
And speaking of seeing what he can do, we got to see what Dalton Kincaid can do in the Bills. He's had back issues. Mike, what were your thoughts when the Bills picked Dalton Kincaid?
I'm sorry. It's just so funny to say he had back issues and then go to the oldest member of the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about that, Mike?
It's called going to the medical expert, okay?
My old age and my back issues. But yeah, it's they have Dawson Knox there. Dalton Kincaid is a much better receiver than Dawson Knox, so I was a little perplexed by that situation. But Dalton Kincaid could, in this offense, could be a rookie of the year candidate. He's a great receiver. He can move all around the line, go deep. 50-50 balls are his specialty. So he's a wonderful receiver. Blocking, don't ask him to block, because that ain't going to happen. Nope. But as a receiver in this offense, it could be pretty scary.
I think he's basically Evan Engram, and people are going to say, oh, well, that's, you know, you're selling him short. Now, Evan Engram has been one of the, like, 12 best tight ends in the league every season of his career. Like, he hasn't always quite produced the numbers that maybe we've wanted for fantasy that we expected based on his rookie season, but he's still been good. You know, he's a good player. So and he's a guy who lines up in the slot a lot, who runs a ton of routes, who does not block at all. You know, I think Kincaid has better hands than Engram, but he's not quite as athletic. So I think it kind of evens out. And I think that's the type of player that the Bills wanted. They wanted, you know, they can play Kincaid in one slot and Deontay Hardy in the other slot and just pretty much do whatever they want.
I loved the pick because, like, for example, Walker, in the Dynasty League that you started last year, I have pick 101. So yes. I also have pick 201 and 206.
Okay.
And the beauty about Kincaid going first is that someone else is going to take him and open up value I like more at the end of the first or start of the second.
You want Kincaid number one, trust me.
I have been, fool me how many times with fantasy players on Buffalo that aren't Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. I'm not falling for it again. I just can't.
Yeah, you want Kincaid number one, trust me.
I my issue is that, you know, we said this about a couple of years ago. We said it about Devin Singletary. We've said it about Zach Moss. We said it about Gabe Davis. We said it about, you know, to a lesser extent, Isaiah McKenzie or Cole Beasley. And it never hits. Hits.
Yeah, Cole Beasley hit like the first year he was there.
Right.
And everybody was like, this is going to happen every year. And yep. It just hasn't really
materialized. It didn't have nothing.
It's the Chiefs with Mahomes and Kelsey, right? After Hill, everybody else is just odds and ends that can show up at time from time to time.
Right. You're gonna have a Juju Smith-Schuster who finishes as like wide receiver 30, and an Isaiah Pacheco who finishes as wide receiver or running back 25.
Right.
And you know, with Buffalo, it's the same thing. You know, James Cook is gonna finish probably between 24 and 30, and Dalton Kincaid's gonna be like tight end 12, and Gabe Davis and Deontay Hardy are both going to be wide receiver 40.
Right. And we will all see them have crazy boom games.
Yep.
And be like, it's on. Here it is.
And then it's just, yeah, they'll all have three of those a year, and the rest of the way they're, you know, three catches for 34 yards.
Right. So I love Kincaid's spot, because as soon as I saw this, I was like, this is money in the bank in the early second round, pushing my guys back.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think you definitely get him at 201, 202.
Yeah.
And just because I don't know how long I'll be here, you mentioned Travis Kelce. Just a side note, right now ESPN lists Travis Kelce at auction at $43, and that is ridiculously low. So if you, yes. I don't know why you'd have a draft right now. Maybe you're about to do a military tour. I know they sometimes draft now, or maybe you're about to do a crime spree and you're going to go to jail or something. I don't know, but... Like, you know what? If you're doing a crime spree, start it off by stealing Travis Kelce at even $10 more than that price. Nailed it. All right, cool. Any of you have any more comments before we move out of the first round? Any offensive tackles that you want to talk about? Because I'd like me some offensive tackle thought. Any final thoughts in the first round? I'm just going to throw it open to the open floor.
I'm good, honestly.
Yeah.
I think it's probably been talked to death. We talked a lot about these players in our mock draft episode. So, yeah, I mean, and that was a really good episode. So if you want to go back and listen to that, go for it. I think we can go on to the second round, guys.
Absolutely.
Okay, and going on to the second round, guys. So round two started off with the Steelers taking the feel-good pick of the year, Joey Porter Jr. And then next, the Tennessee Titans drafted the – probably depressed Will Levis. Tony, what did you think of that?
I think it's a great play by Tennessee, right? Like, I wrote in the draft guide, which I'll plug at the end, that Will Levis has experience with a Titans offense because he's played for a team that had no offensive line. So I think that's like a great, great prep work for him. I mean, he's got a year to learn, right? If not more. He's got a team that's not going to ask him to do a ton. So, I mean, wheels up. I think I'm still a Treylon Burks believer. I'm still a Chig Okonkwo guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if maybe they could find another ACL for Tajay Spears, we could have a conversation about this team going forward that looks like a decent team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always going to have a good defense under Vrabel. They're always going to be well coached. And they've got Derrick Henry, so they've got at least some semblance of an offense.
They were one game away from the playoffs with Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and I certainly don't think they're going to like fall off a cliff or anything. You know, they're still probably going to beat out the Texans and Colts.
No,
but I don't see any reason why they would go away from Tannehill this season because he's the better player. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's still above average. You know, he's. Mm-hmm. He's right below your Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, Jared Goff tier. So I don't see why they would go to Levis. I think that they just tried to take a developmental quarterback last year and failed miserably at it. And so they were like, well, we still want to do that. So we're going to take another shot at it, but just not on a different type of player. And, you know, maybe Levis turns into a decent starter, I guess, but it seemed like they had some other holes that they could have filled.
And while Walker is talking, after that, in the very next pick, the Detroit Lions picked tight end from Iowa, Sam Laporta. Walker, explain yourself.
I don't know, man. I thought that, again, the Lions had bigger needs than tight end because it's not a huge part of the offense. Clearly, they wanted somebody a little bit more dynamic than Brock Wright to be the move tight end. Wright will then slide into the tight end two role where he's better suited because he's a great blocker. And then Shane Zylstra and James Mitchell will battle it out for the last spot. But Laporta will be the top tight end on the roster. He'll get the most targets. He probably isn't going to be particularly fantasy relevant ever with the Lions. I would say he probably tops out at like 70 targets. So, you know, maybe tight end 10 is about as high as you could ever see him getting. And more likely he's going to be like tight end 18. You know, he's Cole Kmet. It's, you know, he's going to be a good player for the team, but for fantasy, it doesn't really matter that much.
Mike, did you think that Sam Laporta was the top tight end still on the board at that point? Or do you think Michael Mayer, picked with the very next pick by the Raiders, was better?
In my projection, I have Mayer as the number one tight end. So, that was one of the surprises for me. Joey Porter falling into the second round, Will Levis falling in the second round, and Sam Laporta going over Michael Mayer was another shock. I think it was definitely a surprise for me. I think Michael Mayer, to me, was the best tight end of the group.
Here's what I will say. I agree that I think Michael Mayer is the better player. I just think that Sam Laporta fits how the Lions want their tight ends to play better. I think he's a little bit better blocker. He's a little bit better with yards after the catch. He's just not anywhere near as good at like manipulating defenses and getting open. But the Lions don't need that out of their tight ends because it's not a big enough part of the offense. They need a guy who can do what the scheme says well. And I guess that's what they thought Laporta was. I wouldn't have drafted that at pick, you know, 34, but they did. And for what they're looking for, they'll get it.
And I think that's important. You have to either work the scheme around the players, which is the optimal goal. But then with other players, if they fit the scheme better than other players, then you got to go with that other player. And yeah, if Laporta fits the scheme better, as Walker's saying, then you go with Sam Laporta.
the theme of this draft for the Lions was they wanted players who could help make the team better right now. And that's what they took with their first four picks, were players that could make the team better right now. And so I'm not personally surprised that they took Laporta over Mayer, even though that's not what I would have done, because I think Mayer's good enough that you can maybe change the scheme a little bit to get him a little more involved. But the Lions have found an offense that works, and they want to insert personnel into that offense that enhance it, I suppose.
I just wish that I could have watched Dan Campbell watching Sam Laporta's tape. He must have been doing push-ups, because
he was drooling in there. Yeah.
Because Sam Laporta screams Dan Campbell guy. You know, he's a Big Ten guy, he's a tackle breaker, he's an over the middle guy that'll you know, tacklers will bounce off his chest. He's got the spin move.
Right, and he's a great athlete too.
Yep. I think it's such a Lions pick.
Yeah, it definitely is. He was definitely the tight end that I was looking at. Like, the Lions could definitely take him on day two. I just didn't expect it to be that early.
But that's cool, right? Because, like, the idea as a society of what we've come to accept as a Lions pick has changed to, like, the cool badass that can't get tackled.
That's true. That is true. Is that, the people were like, well, Lions sure made Lions picks with these guys. Yeah, it's the completely insane linebacker who hits really hard. The tight end who can't be tackled, and the running back who can't be tackled.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, I'll take it. It's a lot better than people being like, the classic Lions pick, Mike Williams.
Well, it could have been Brenton Strange. 10 years ago, it would have been Brenton Strange.
Yeah, it's true. Or Luke Schoonmaker. Either way, it would have been so embarrassing.
Tony, right now it looks like the tight end blob is Kyle Pitts, Dallas Goedert, Evan Engram, Pat Freiermuth, Darren Waller, David Njoku. With the only four people I think have a chance to break out of it are George Kittle, Hawkinson, or we know will break out of it, Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. Does Michael Mayer have any potential of breaking out of that blob into the top four?
Yeah, absolutely. It might take a coaching change. And it'll definitely take a different quarterback, but...
Oh, I thought you meant this year. Jesus, okay.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Okay, cool.
Like,
I was like, this year, there's no way a rookie tight end is being top four. No.
And the beauty of the second round tight ends, at least these first couple, is Laporta and Mayer, you can fully expect to be on the field for 90% or more of their team snaps. Like, I can't see a situation where, unless Detroit's going five wide, I can't see a reason why he wouldn't be out there. And I feel the same way about Michael Mayer. I think Michael Mayer ends up probably being second on the team in targets, because who else are they throwing it to? They lost my guy, Mac Hollins.
I think Jacoby Myers will get more targets than...
You think? It's possible. Yeah. With the coaching, it makes sense.
This is a reminder.
That is a reminder to me that Jacoby Myers went to the Raiders.
Yeah, so I think it'll go Adams, Myers, and then Mayer and Renfro will probably be pretty close, for unless they got rid of Renfro. I can't remember. But
I just think
they still have Renfro. Okay, yeah, I think that they'll probably fight it out for third place in terms of targets. Mayer probably ends up winning that battle. He's the only of the rookie tight ends that I would, well, maybe Kincaid, but I think Mayer has the easiest path to being like a top 12 guy that you can rely on a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be amazing in his rookie season, but I think he could end up settling into that. Like, oh, every week he gives you 4 for 45, and then every third week he scores a touchdown and he ends up being like tight end 9.
They also have Austin Hooper there, too. I mean, I know he didn't do much last year, but he's had some good years. So I think
he's the temporary replacement for Foster Moreau while he battles his cancer. So I think he's just going to be tight end, too.
So you think Mayer's number one and
Hooper's
number two? Huh?
Yeah.
That's how it was last year when he was – where was he last year? Tennessee? So
yep.
Yeah, he was Tennessee, and he got his job taken by Chig. So,
remember all that preseason Austin Hooper stuff that was happening last year around like August?
Do I remember it? I was Austin Hooper's biggest fan.
Yeah,
I had him tight end 12 preseason.
you would have loved my best ball teams last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. Only I did like 3 best ball drafts. I think I had Hooper in 2 of them.
Yep.
And yeah, I drafted him in like the second to last round in my home league. Got nothing out of it.
Yep.
So moving down the draft board, Mike, the Panthers picked wide receiver Jonathan Mingo at 39. Do you think this will make things easier on Bryce Young, or will this be like a blind leading the blind into a room full of seeing ghosts situation?
Well, let's hope that Young isn't seeing ghosts. We don't want Sam Darnold out there. They signed Adam Thielen, DJ Chark after trading DJ Moore. But, you know, as we know, Thielen was sort of fell off the cliff last year, and he's 32 years old. And they definitely needed to get younger. He's part of a 3 wide receiver set that he could emerge. He's a big dude. He's built like a running back, and he really knows how to just break through tackles and those kind of things. In the second round, I guess, you know, I had him more of the third round kind of guy, but he definitely could emerge in fantasy.
Tony, who's talking? Go for it.
I was just going to say, I'm not a Terrace Marshall fan, and I'm not sure Jonathan Mingo's better than Terrace Marshall. So,
right.
And that's going to be fighting or Hayden Hurst. And so he's going to be fighting for like third or fourth place in the pecking order there. I think I would avoid Mingo. I'm not interested.
You know, looking at Mingo, he's someone I didn't scout until after the draft happened, because I was just like, who's this guy? I didn't hear about him until, you know, second week of April. And I think that the way that he plays, his play style, everyone says AJ Brown because it's the easiest comp to make, but you can see a little bit of like a Debo in there with his run after the catch. And I think that you shouldn't be investing anything in him in fantasy to start, because I think at best he's a guy that comes on later in the season when he puts it all together.
Here's something I noticed and I put in my notes. 4 quarterbacks were taken in the first 34 picks, 33 picks. Then in the next, in rounds 2 and 3, all 4 of those teams chose a rookie wide receiver, which seemed different than what I've seen. Was that just me? I was like, is this a new thing? Anyone notice this trend? Have anything to say? I thought it was weird.
Who else was it? Because I only see Rashee Rice, Marvin Mims. Oh, Tank Dell was in the third, right?
Yeah. It was Carolina taking Jonathan Mingo, Jalen Hyatt to the... Where'd Jalen Hyatt go?
No, he went to the Giants.
Oh, wait.
That's still Danny Dimes' turf.
Oh, I'm reading this wrong. Thank you. Never mind. I'm wrong.
Well, Tank Dell went to Houston, right?
Yeah. Tank Dell went to Houston. Jalen Hyatt was to the Giants, and Josh Downs was to the Colts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was surprised that Downs fell as far as he did. I mean, I thought Downs is a better prospect than Mingo.
Me too. I was pretty ecstatic about that draft selection too.
Yeah, better prospect than Rice, better than Mims, better than Hyatt, better than Dell, better than Tillman. You know, I thought he was right up there with Zay Flowers, honestly. So I really think that's a great pick. I unfortunately, again, think that a division rival made a good pick. I think Jaden Reed will do well for the Packers. He's a lot like another Big Ten receiver last year that kind of got underrated, Jahan Dotson, a smaller guy who plays huge and loves to go get the ball 50-50, great speed and route running. You know, he's a little slight and he needs a little bit of refinement, but, no, he plays like, you know, a he plays like a 6'3 receiver, and he's got the speed of a little guy. There's a lot of potential there.
My favorite spot in Dynasty rookie drafts right now is that spot where you can get Downs, Mims, or Reed. That's like the sweet spot for me right now because I like all three. Yeah, you can get
those guys at like the 2-3 turn.
Right. Well, I've seen them more in the middle two. I think on the podcast that I do, my co-host is a big Mingo guy. So he lumps them into that same category, which I think pushes the list up because I've been seeing Mingo go closer to the top of the second.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Mingo go in the back end of the first. I've just been seeing people get like Josh Downs or Jaden Reed at like, 2-9.
Sure. I think Reed is creeping up.
Yeah, probably.
I think that price point is going to be higher by the time most leagues do their drafts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I mean, I think if you're at that 2-3 turn, you might be a little too far back. Then you might start having to look at like speculative running backs, and that's not where you want to be.
Which is what we'll be talking about soon here, right? Speculative running backs as we creep down the draft board.
We've got one here, Zach Charbonnet. He's fine. He's certainly not a bad player. He will make the team better because he's a good running back too. He catches the ball a little bit better than Walker does out of the backfield. So you can play him on third downs a little bit. He can give him the 8 carries as a spell back, and Walker stays the starter and stays valuable. And Charbonnet is probably not really much of anything for fantasy, unfortunately.
How about, you don't think he's much of anything for fantasy? Go on.
No, I wouldn't be drafting him this year. I just think that, that RB2 role in Seattle has never been one that produced fantasy value. DJ Dallas and Travis Homer and those guys have never really done anything. It's 8 carries for 35 yards and 2 catches for 15 yards. So, okay, cool, I got 7 points. And they don't score many touchdowns. So it's, it kind of a, medium floor, low ceiling play, which doesn't help you win.
But then I won't be able to use this fantasy football team name I just thought of. Sparkling Charbonnet, but the twist is it's spark with a Q.
Oh, okay.
That works.
Interesting. I see what you're doing there.
Spark score.
And while we're just kind of free balling it, well, is that the right word? I don't know. Just looking down the draft board, does anyone else move the needle in terms of fantasy in rounds 2 and 3?
I'm just going to sit back and listen to your Devin Achane takes.
Okay. I don't care about any of these other tight ends. I don't care about Luke Musgrave. He's coming back from injury. I don't think Brenton Strange or Luke Schoonmaker are good enough to be fantasy relevant. So, no thanks.
Even in Dallas?
Huh?
Even with being in Dallas?
No, I don't think so. I think Jake Ferguson's a better receiver.
Okay.
So I think if you want a Dallas tight end, draft Ferguson late. But I'll probably just avoid them mostly. Tank Dell too small. Sorry.
That was a horrible pick. I still can't believe he went. He was my Regis pick. And then he went in the third round. I'm like, okay.
Xavier Hutchinson is better than Tank Dell. So
I agree with that.
And they got him 3 rounds later. Jalin Hyatt, just fast. I mean, they drafted a smaller Darius Slayton. Cool. He's not going to do anything. Cedric Tillman is the 4th best receiver on the Browns and 5th best pass catcher. So no, thank you. He might not even be better than David Bell. So it might be 6th. Josh Downs, we talked about. Spears, we talked about. Achane. I mean, he plays a lot like Raheem Mostert, right?
Yep.
He fits that type of offense. I think he's the most talented back on the roster, probably. But they're not going to give anybody a big enough share to be like a top 18 option.
Nope.
A-Chain might return value for you because you could probably get him at like RB 30 and he'll finish maybe RB 23. So, you know, I think you could return value, but it's going to be, you know, you're winning on the margins there. He's not going to be like a home run pick, I don't think.
I've seen A-Chain is, you know, the dynasty industry's pride and joy right now. Beautiful, bubbling baby boy. They love him. And like, honestly, in redraft, he's going to get drafted higher than he should. And you should sit back and wait because he's not going to do anything for 6 weeks. And that manager is going to come into the Football Absurdity Discord and say, should I cut him? And I'll say yes, and then I'll pick him up off of waivers. Because in extended formats, Raheem Mostert's not going to be around forever, but there's a reason why Mostert and Wilson were brought to the Dolphins, right? I mean, they know McDaniel's system.
Yep.
You can't discount that.
And just to update, I'm in a dynasty league right now. We're drafting, and Zach Charbonnet went 109. A-Chain went 108. Michael Mayer went 110. This is kind of crazy. This is just dropping me value to the 205. But yeah, just a live draft update for Dynasty League.
Yeah. And then we get to Tank Bigsby. Don't care. Not very good. Travis Etienne will be the guy. Michael Wilson. Don't care. Not very good.
Nope.
Trey Tucker. Not good. Am I missing anybody here? Cameron Latu, you want me to care about you want me to care about the 49ers third tight end, and then we're into the fourth round. So yeah, I think that's it.
I do like Tank Bigsby's landing spot though. I mean, he's not very good, but
he's better than Snoop Connor. So
yeah, better than Snoop Connor. And I don't know if the way they rotated Travis Etienne last year, there's some avenue there for Tank Bigsby. But in redraft leagues, I'm probably, unless it's like the 17th round or the 16th round, I'm probably leaving him off the table. But I do like him a little bit in Dynasty.
I'm kind of, if we you know, dipped into the fourth round a little bit in the real life draft and in dynasty drafts, I don't mind taking shots on Stetson Bennett or Tyler Scott.
Stetson Bennett just isn't good.
But at that price point, there's always a shot, right?
I'd rather go with Jake Haener because I think he's a better player.
I like Jake Haener too.
I mean, if we're talking QBs that no one cares about,
I agree that Bennett has an easier path to playing time.
Yes.
But Haener is a better player, you know, and if, you know, I think he's going to take the backup job from Winston. And then if Carr gets hurt, then Haener's playing.
Yep.
But could you say the same thing about Aiden O'Connell, who's the second quarterback in Vegas?
Him.
I think they're pretty close.
Probably. Yeah, I agree on O'Connell too. He's not too bad, and he went to a decent spot.
Yeah.
Clayton Toon did too. I mean, he might play this season.
Yeah. Yep. That'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I really think Clayton Toon could play quite a bit this season. So we'll see. But one guy I guess we skipped over just because I don't particularly care about him, but a lot of Dynasty Twitter is super excited because he gives good quotes or whatever, is Kendre Miller. The Saints picked him. People are still worried about the Kamara like suspension drama. They signed Jamal Williams to do what Kendre Miller does, and they know that he can. They don't know that Kendre Miller's any good yet. So he's going to be up against it for playing time. If you like him enough that you think he's one of your, you know, your favorite prospects or whatever, sure, in Dynasty, you're probably going to be able to get him in the second round. So, fine. But definitely not for redraft.
No, they gave Jamal Williams money. They gave him a 3-year deal. This isn't a 1-year wait and see. They committed to him.
Right, exactly.
I'd like to talk about Hooker, the quarterback I'm referring to as Achilles Hendon, and I don't care if it's not technically anatomically correct. And of course, I'm going to throw it to Walker. It feels like Detroit's been kind of the star of this podcast today with all their interesting picks. Walker, what did you think of that?
I don't know. I understand what they're going for here because they don't have Goff locked up long term. So if they take a shot on a quarterback and they get him into camp and he shows them something and it's like, wow, this guy's like just as good as Goff, then they can just ride Goff for this season and then not extend him and move on to the cheaper guy. I just don't think Hooker is as good of a prospect as the Lions seem to think he is to take that shot. I just don't think there was a guy there that was good enough. You know, Hooker is a very old prospect. He's only 3 years younger than Jared Goff and he's not as good. So I don't know how much development there's left to do with Hooker. I do think that he has a high floor. I think that at worst he'll be a decent backup and he's better than Nate Sudfeld. So I can understand that he, you know, shores up a position of need on the team, but early third round for a guy who's probably never going to start for you. I don't know.
That felt like a scarcity play. Like we're just going to grab him just cause we don't want anyone else.
I don't know. It just seemed like they wanted somebody there and Hooker was the best option on the board at that point. But I don't know. I just don't think he's particularly good.
They might use him in gadget plays, right? Because he's pretty athletic. I don't know.
I guess maybe. They could have a little like goal line out package for him, maybe. But, I mean, he's probably going to start the season on the PUP list, too. So,
right.
You know, a lot of people think that the Lions are still going to sign Teddy Bridgewater, like it was reported before the draft. And just like give Hooker a redshirt season, which would make the pick way worse because you're taking a 25-year-old quarterback in the third round and then giving him a redshirt season. Maybe 26 before you even let him like show you anything. Like, no, that Brandon, we saw what happened with Brandon Wheaton.
Oh yeah. That was not pretty.
Failed experiment.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we've reached the end of my notes. Did I miss anything glaring?
The death of Izzy Abanikanda.
I mean, young prospect, very athletic. So I don't think you can completely write him off. But, yeah, I mean, he's never going to get more than, like, 10 touches a game in that offense.
Yep.
It's too bad, too, because he was such a hot prospect. Until he tore that ACL.
Yep.
No, speaking of the death of, I saw fantasy people losing their minds draft day two because they think that Zach Charbonnet means the death of Kenneth Walker. Are they
wrong?
No.
Kenneth Walker is too good at running to cede that much work to Charbonnet. No, they drafted Charbonnet to be 1B to Walker's 1A. And that's how it's going to go. And Walker's still going to have probably a top 15 running back season, I would guess.
It's weird because Walker had some bad advanced metrics, but at the same time, he's just really good at football. So,
yep. Yeah, I've been following Charbonnet since he was Michigan as a freshman. And there's no way that Kenny Walker is going to lose any value to Charbonnet. Charbonnet has gotten better every single season that he's been in college, but Walker's already there where Charbonnet still needs a lot of improvement. I could see Charbonnet maybe goal line packages and some third down plays and that kind of thing, but for the most part, this is Walker's backfield.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say Sean Tucker. Man,
what the hell happened to that?
I hope he makes that team.
Oh, a UDFA.
Who?
Third round, fourth
Sean
round.
Sean Tucker from from Syracuse? Yeah, because of the medicals?
Yeah, the medicals. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, I would say he's on track to make the Buccaneers for sure.
Yeah.
And I could see him ending up taking some work from Rashad White if things go well medically for him, because I think he's a pretty talented player.
He is. Yeah, my fourth highest tape score for running backs.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me, honestly.
Yeah.
Not fantasy related, but I will say the day three pick that I am most 100% sure is going to be good is JL Skinner, safety from Boise State. Went round six, pick 183 to Denver. He's going to start, and he's going to be really good. Their secondary is going to be scary with Sertan and Simmons and Skinner. It's going to be fantastic.
For you IDP owners out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so let's bring it towards a close. Let's go around and say how we feel about our own personal team's draft this year and any final thoughts or notes you have. And I'll start it off to give you all some time to think. I liked Baltimore's pick. I really wanted them to get a wide receiver. And the rest of it was just shoring stuff up. I think it's a solid B, which is all I really wanted. Once they signed Lamar Jackson, I felt like we were playing with house money at that point. So I really didn't pay too much extra critical attention to what they were doing. And one thing I really like is I think the first half of the first round gave us three new viable fantasy running backs in Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, and possibly DeAndre Swift going to Philadelphia, although I'm not going to talk myself into that again, but I love more running backs in fantasy. Never enough. So I enjoyed that. Yeah. How do you feel about the Bears, Tony?
You know, I like it. It wasn't what I thought it would be. I understand why it wasn't what I thought it would be. I thought they would be going a little bit heavier on interior offensive line. There were picks where I really liked John Michael Schmitz was on the board.
You could have got Chandler Zavala too.
How sweet it would have been. We could have got Osiris Torrance while we're at it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I liked the addressing the defense. The Roshan pick I actually liked was one of my least favorite picks that they made because I thought there's still a bunch of needs still out on the board. But with the two defensive tackles pretty much back to back, I like that they're committing to building the lines. It's been years of watching some seventh round pick who was an athletic freak start at left tackle and watching Jay Cutler get violently assaulted. So just build from the trenches up. I don't want any sexy fantasy picks. I just want to see line work.
Who were the defensive tackles they picked?
They got Dexter from Florida.
Okay.
And then I think it was a guy from North Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas.
Is that Zach Pickens?
Yes. There's a lot of C's in that name.
Yes. Yeah, that's about where those guys should have gone. Yeah. I mean, I think that they'll be solid. I don't think they'll be spectacular, but I think they'll do the job.
Yeah.
And any general thoughts about this year's draft, Tony?
Once again, the Dynasty community talked themselves into this being the greatest draft ever, and we got a lot of rotation pieces. We got a lot of rotation pieces. That's fine. Like, let's go with it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who's holding, you know, not – this is a very fair year where the winner of your Dynasty League who is holding the 110 is looking at who's available for them to pick. Like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. So it's a normal rookie class.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because I set myself up in one league where I have, I don't know how many picks. It's a lot. And because I thought this was going to be just a terrific draft class and where all the pieces fell, you're just like, this is not what I originally thought. And so I am disappointed, but who knows? We don't know about any of these guys. So it's just going to be one of those things where I hope I'm right, but it doesn't look like I'm going to be right.
It's 1 through 6, and then pretty much everyone 7 through 20 is pretty much just flip a coin.
Yeah, completely interchangeable, whatever your personal preference is.
Yep.
So, Mike, how do you feel about your Colts this draft?
Oh, I absolutely love the Colts draft, and that's not just me being a homer. It's the fact that they went out and got all the pieces that I hoped they would get from Richardson, Brent. They got great value in Josh Downs. I am a little skeptic on Will Mallory going in the 5th round. He was, again, not Justin Fargas. I always get these guys mixed up. Regis pick. But going in the 5th round, Will Mallory, who's very much like Colin Granson, pretty much the same type of player. So that was kind of confusing on why they would get someone like that. But overall, they addressed the offensive tackle position, which they need some offensive line help, because last year was not it. Last year was a disaster. Poor Matt Ryan, even though he didn't play well, he got just craned back there. So I'm pretty ecstatic about where the Colts went with this draft. They had a very good, again, Chris Ballard comes through. So, you know, one of those things, like you always say, okay, this looks good on paper, but is it going to translate? And we'll see. Anthony Richardson's the key to all this. And again, we don't know how good Anthony Richardson's going to be. He could be very good, or he could be out of the league in 2 years.
That's great. I love when people are happy with their drafts after being a Raiders fan for so many years and being like, maybe I won't even watch, man. I don't know. Like, I'll watch through like my fingers over my eyes and stuff. Yeah, Walker, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm chilling, I guess. The picks were not what I expected, but I like that with our first 4 picks, we added players who will positively impact the roster immediately. You know, that's what we needed. And so despite it not being the way I thought it was going to go, they did get better. And that's what you have to hope for. The 3rd round, I did not care for. Hooker, I think was kind of a waste. Broderick Martin, I think, was just a guy at nose tackle. I don't really think he's anything special. Then day 3, Sorsdahl will probably be a decent backup offensive lineman. And then Antoine Green in the 7th, just developmental receiver. Maybe he makes the team as a special teamer. I don't think he'll ever be relevant. UDFAs, we had a couple of good ones. Mohammed Ibrahim, if he's healthy, will absolutely make the roster. Brandon Joseph could absolutely make the roster. He was one that I was surprised with his Northwestern tape still out there. I was surprised he didn't get drafted, because he was thought of as like one of the best safeties in this draft about a year and a half ago. And he had a bad season at Notre Dame and everybody forgot he existed. So I think he'll have a good shot of making the team, especially with CJ Moore getting cut because of the gambling thing. I like most of the of what the Lions did. I'm not going to say it was a great draft. I don't think it was, but I would say it was, you know, like a B-. And I think that the direction of the team is still upward, I would say.
I love that Northwestern won 1 game last year and had multiple players drafted to the league.
Yeah, what, Skoronski and Hull?
Yep. And Adiba Ware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, three players drafted, 2 of them on day 1 and day 2. Yeah, one guy on each day.
On a 1-win team.
They're good at academics.
They are.
All right, well, that brings us to the end here. Thanks, Mike Valverde and Walker Kelly. And special thanks to Tony Martin for filling in last minute. I really appreciate you guys. I'm Evan Hoover, also filling in for Jeff. This is Football Absurdity Podcast. And that's it. Goodbye.
Nah.
See ya.